Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Queen Vibes Reality Talk. I'm your host, Queen Vibes, alongside my co-host, Mr. Happy Music.
Hey, 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 Peach Queen. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How was your day?
My day was pretty okay. Nothing to jump up and down. So, I'm here.
Okay, I gotta say, you ain't sound too sure about that.
Yeah, I'm here. How was your day?
Oh my God, it was too long. It was dragging out. Mm. The day is short. I only did 6 hours today, but it was just so dragged out because we didn't really have too much to do. And you know me, I gotta stay busy.
No.
Yes, no, but we're winding down. Yeah. I stay
definitely
busy and I keep you busy.
Hey, that's the name of the game.
Yes. It'll be like 12 o'clock in the morning. I'll text you like, Hakim, I got an idea. But anyway. So welcome, everybody. It is Talk Tuesday. And we're going to be discussing something we discussed before with strength and numbers. How we need to band together as a whole to get results. If you want things accomplished, you got to band together and do it together. So, and you know, I'm all about unity and empowering my people. So,
right.
If you want to call in, 929-477-1436. Don't forget to press 1 on your telephone keypad to go live with us. We about to tell y'all some stuff y'all need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear. So that's my disclaimer. Y'all know every show I gotta give a little disclaimer for the sensitive people. But to make sure you're following us on our social media pages, and as y'all always do every show, make sure you interact with us on our social media pages, and we will read your questions off or connect with us on our inbox.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Hit the inbox.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You got any disclaimers? Do they need to put the kids away?
Nah. This is grown. I mean, it's going to be grown folk talk, but I have to keep it light today, y'all. Please forgive me once again. My allergies have got a firm grasp for them.
Allergies been keeping your ass all spring.
Since we've been on air, I've had to mute the phone 4 times since we've been on the air just to cough or sneeze or something. So bear with me, y'all. It's going to be a rough one. But yeah, you know, I figured it's about that time and in light of everything that's going on, all the things that we're seeing and the protesting, the boycotting, it's the energy for blackness is up, but I do have some concerns. You know, I have a lot of concerns, and I think that throughout the course of the show, we're going to have to recognize some things that as we're organizing and unifying, there are some others who are piggybacking, secretly causing disruptions, and trying to mess with the unity. you know, that we're trying to establish. So I think we need to just touch base on that and recognize that, you know, because it's a lot going on. Did you want to touch base on that, Queen?
Well, first of all, when we coming together, we need to have a plan. Everybody can't just be going out there and say, okay, this is what we want, and then just start marching, you know. Have a plan. So y'all people who are organizing these things, or you people that have influence others and that have followers, I mean, you got to have a plan. And everybody has to have the same end goal and play their part in that plan. Or everybody just going to be running around crazy, you know. Just like with these protests, I'm all for the protests, but y'all can't just let anybody come into what y'all doing and start causing chaos and disruption, because it takes away from the cause, the plan of what you're doing, you know. Because what you think the news, the media going to show, the white media, what you think is going to show? All the rioting and the looting, which overshadows the peaceful protest. So, ready when you are to get started. You there, Hakim?
I'm sorry. I'm over here sneezing my brains out. That's why you were talking. I had it on mute. Hachoo. I did like a four, you know, like a machine gun joint. Excuse me.
I'm like, did I move you? Because, you know, last time, you know, every time we talk about stuff like this, Law Talk start acting up.
Yup.
No, last week they tried to play me, but they can never. But I'm ready when you are.
I asked some folks to gather up some questions, and because I like to do questions when we're talking these serious topics, because it allows other voices and other ideas to get into the conversation. We have a few, but one that I just saw popped up. Give me a sec. And I'm glad that Lady Wren, Divine, she's asking to please define leadership. And I think that's a great question, because it ties in to what you were just saying about you must have a plan. And in order to build that plan, the leaders of the community need to come together and construct something and get input from the community, right?
Absolutely. So when I think of leadership, what I think about is someone that's going to be able to hold it together, that's going to be able to designate people's roles, also make sure things are going the way it should go. Accountability, that's number one. You know, being mindful of what you're trying to do, and also making sure it happens the correct way, not letting other people come in and distract with the messages, because we have too many people that want to be a leader that's not a leader nowadays. But leadership is very important, because, like, y'all president, that's not a leader. That is not a leader. A leader is supposed to make what you're trying to do look good, make your organization look good, you know. Their whole sole purpose is supposed to be based on your people catering to. So, I mean, you got to have some type of morals and stand for something. It's more like the way you live. It's a lifestyle. You can't just wake up one day and just be like, oh, I'm going to be a leader. You got to have a certain way that you're living and the way you think and the way you move that makes you a leader. So.
You know, leadership, there's an old saying that very rarely can a leader be made, but he's definitely born. Some mm-hmm. some folks just have that natural talent that can be honed from an early age to be a true leader. A true leader is going to be the person that's going to lead by example, look at the policies, procedures, look at the rules, look at the do's and the don'ts, look at the things mm-hmm. that are in place, and he's going to grab those things, he's going to throw it over his shoulder, he's going to walk down the street, and he's going to follow him. Because based under these guidelines, this is how we're going to serve our community. This is how we're going to help our organization. A leader is not that guy that is pointing fingers, that is jumping the gun, that is just hyperactive, that is just moving with they only think about themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're talking about that orange piece of shit. He is more interested in being a leader because it serves him. Okay? He's in a leadership role but doesn't have leadership qualities. And we're seeing it every day. Every time he comes out to open his mouth, we see he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. So that's what's happening here in the community. He's a good boss. He's a terrible leader. There's a big difference because a boss is pointing fingers and telling people what to do without even knowing how to do it themselves. Right? A boss is that person who just is off on their own thing, throws a lot of big ideas, don't know the mechanics of how to get them done. And what you'll find in most organizations and communities that these bosses who are coming up with these big ideas and with the big mouths and the loudest voices, they have to be seen because they got to be shown that they're doing something. Because being a boss makes you feel good. It doesn't necessarily make the team feel good. And we have a lot of those so-called people in our hoods and in our communities. They're not helping, right? That's the guy that there's a block party for the kids. He didn't go pick up any cans of soda. He didn't go pick up any lunch meat or hot dogs. He didn't put out no picnic tables. He's that guy that will give you $20-$30 and say you to do whatever you want. And then when it's block party time, he comes pull up on the scene like he did everything. And his little limited contribution is his bragging right. Oh, I put $100-$200 to this thing. This thing better be good. This thing better be, that DJ better be on point. And he wasn't there to help the DJ hook up. He wasn't there to coordinate. He didn't go run and get bags of ice. He didn't make sure the kids' bouncy house was blown up on time. See, leadership isn't just oh, I got this, or I own this, or I contribute this, oh, go do this. No, that's a boss. And you got to be careful of these so-called bosses when you are trying to organize and you're trying to come together, you're trying to unite, because they're the loudest voices in the room. I don't ever want to be. I have been in one way or another in leadership for over 25 years. Doing something. And people wouldn't come to me if I sucked. There are people who are listening to this show who are making six-figure incomes when I'm not making six-figure incomes because of my leadership. And I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy that I was able to learn and teach. I didn't sit on my ass and say, hey, go do that. Or go do this. And I don't even know what I'm telling you to do. I don't know how to do your job. But I'm in leadership. So for everybody who's at work, anybody who's ever been in a management position, you know what it feels like. You got that person over you. Every so often, is going to come tell you to do some shit that they can't even do themselves. So we have a lot of them people in the community. And you have to know the difference, because they're the ones who is going to organizing stuff and gathering people up together and coming up with these cockamamie plans, because everything is about right now for them. They don't have the foresight to think down the road. So, you wanted to jump back on that again, Queen?
Well, yeah. First of all, a person that has leadership is not all I, me. It's we and team. That's first and foremost. And if you're going to be able to have leadership, you have to make sure you do your research. Know the ins and outs of what you're talking about. Like you said, you were able to teach people. As a leader, you're supposed to be able to teach your team and teach your community and teach the people that want to be a part of what you're doing, why you're doing it, how it's going to be done, and they have to know the ins and outs as well. You know, someone that's a leader want to make sure everybody elevates. You know,
right.
And not just them. They're not just focused on how it's going to benefit them.
That is and you know what? I'm glad you said that, because that's the other side of leadership. You're doing this for the collective, not for yourself, right? This is about this is about the community. You know, if you're a blockhead on your block and you got four houses that are boarded up and you know the crackheads are breaking in and using them as dope houses, show some leadership. Take gas downtown, file a complaint, get the cops to run them out of there, and then start gathering up the community and say, hey, listen, y'all, what can we do to secure these houses? Because there's crackheads coming around from other neighborhoods just to get high in that house, and we have kids playing ball or riding bikes in front of this house. How do we secure this location? And that's where a leader organizes everybody and explains why it's so important to do what you're doing. That is the effects of good management of a crisis. Lay out a plan and explain the purpose of the plan, why it's important to do A, B, and C. Because any old idiot can point a finger and say, hey, go do that. But a leader knows why to do that, and he's teaching why to do that. So as there's a lot of organizations coming together, there's a lot of people. Since this protest, I've been thrown in all kinds of black Facebook groups. I got my brothers from the West Philadelphia High who want to come together. I got my old fraternity brothers, the Sons of Tar, who want to come together. So it's like everybody is trying to form and get organized and trying to figure out how to save these babies. And that's a beautiful thing. I want everybody to ride this wave, not just the other folk. Which leads to the next question that came in. This question came back in from Melissa. Welcome back. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
And Melissa is asking, is it me, or are there a lot of white companies and white people suddenly interested in Black Lives Matter?
First of all, no, it's happening. It's reality. First of all, we didn't just get here. We've been here. So all the companies that's making like Band-Aids coming out with different shades now, or everybody's want to, you know, BLM hashtags. They are, be mindful and watch the people that are trying to profit from our pain. That's first and foremost. You know, they know we out here banding together. They know we out here boycotting places, and we out here doing our thing. So now they have to find a way to still be able to get our black dollars, to still be able to get our support, for us to still be able to continue to make them rich. So all they're going to do is throw a hashtag every now and then, throw up a sign, do a little press release of, oh, you know, we support the movement, you know, throw a couple of little catchphrases in there so we could be eating out of the palm of their hand. And we have to be mindful of that. You know, pay attention to the ones that's been for our people before all of this started. that did their contributions, that did the charities, you know. Also, research their CEOs and the chairmen and stuff. Dig into their lives and see what type of people they are and what they stand for. Do not let them capitalize off of something that we are living and that we are trying to overcome. Because I'm saying, I never saw so many people that love black people in my life. And they just trying to capitalize off of it.
Sure, right? That's the funny part. You know, where the hell was y'all at when Kaepernick started? I consider every... I went to Amazon today. Went to Amazon. I'm looking for shelving and stuff like that. I'm probably going to do another move. So I'm looking, and as soon as I pulled up the app, first thing at the very bottom of the app, I scroll down, Black Lives Matter. Okay, Amazon. So I get on Facebook, I'm scrolling through Facebook, getting ready for the show, and I see Wish, an ad for Wish. They're selling summer dresses with black girls' faces on. Women with afros on. Fucking companies from Japan and China, rather, are making products pandering for your black dollar.
When they're kicking our asses, kicking us out of their country, and doing everything else they could do to us, and still find a way to slap us in the face and make money for us.
Mm-hmm. You know, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter has now jumped the shark. It has now been culture vultures. It's not ours anymore. There's all kinds of reports that George Soros is funding, you know, the rich fuck who's involved in so many different things. Sometimes that works for us, sometimes that works against us. And he's funding some of these organized Black Lives Matter protests. He's paying for the busing and stuff to get people around. According to reports, when I turn on cable news and I see it said so many times, I already understand it. When it comes out of a white man's mouth, something that we created and is consistent, is no longer ours. It's no longer ours. I have seen more white people protesting in certain parts, waving the Black Lives Matter. Do I love it? I love the fact that some white people woke up and said, let me support the black people. But I'm also skeptical. I'm very skeptical. Because I also saw white people running in pride building gates open during the riot parts. I've seen white people go, leave the march, and run and start breaking windows. Mm-hmm. Propping up bricks. And so I'm skeptical. Very skeptical of seeing all of these people all of a sudden jump on the bandwagon. We got Nancy Pelosi and all them other some old Democratic fucks with the kente cloth kneeling. And I've had multiple debates with people about, oh man, that's a good thing. How is that a good thing? It's only a good thing. Oh, a symbolic gesture is a good thing. We learned about symbolic gestures from Obama's campaign, when Obama was president. There's a lot of things he wanted to do and couldn't get it done. There's a lot of symbolic gestures. They're politicians. They're the masters of symbolic gestures. Because everything is visual art, visual goddamn mind control, visual mental manipulation. They put stuff out there for your brain to be guided into a way that they want you to think. Hold on. Sorry about that. Got motorcycles and shit riding by. The Black Lives Matter has to stay black. If they want to support, let them support. Remember what Malcolm said. Okay? You want to... No, you can't join. If you want to help, you want to be an advocate, be an advocate. But we need to do this ourselves. Because the only reason why they're paying attention to y'all is for two things. One, they saw that y'all not tabs and shit. and they can't openly shoot you on TV because it's bad PR. And two, there's so many sympathetic white people who are on the line with you now. Their own kindness is supporting you now. So they have no choice but to listen. They have no choice but to show support because it'll affect their bottom line.
Right.
You know?
Let's talk about little gestures that they're making to make it seem like that things are going to change. Did you hear about the law that they're naming after Breonna Taylor?
Yes.
But yet, the killers are still walking free. So when we talk about gestures that they make so to feel like we're getting something, that is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you know, sign a law, you know, make it happen. But right by you signing that law, then a warrant should be being signed for them to cop the rest. And this is when we have to really pay attention. They want to give us enough because they want everything to stop. That's why last week when we were asked, do we think the protesting should stop? Absolutely not. And this is why. Because it's here. And let me give them a little bit of breadcrumbs here so they can eat on it for a moment. You know? So you got to be mindful.
Yeah. Yep. You brought up something that made me think back to the weekend when I was watching Governor Cuomo over in New York. And he was saying it's time to stop the protesting. We heard you. You won. Won shit. How did we win anything? What did we win? Because they locked up one asshole? How many more black people died since the protesting started? I done lost count now. Got the brother in Louisville. The sister died in Louisville of Miss Taylor. And then during the protest, the brother died in Louisville. He was at his own business. Wasn't even a part of the protest. So, and then New York got issues, and now Philly got issues. And the cop, think about it like this. You're a cop, and you have watched your city have protests for 10, 11, 12 days. Right? You see the tension. You turn on the news, you hear what these people are saying. You would think that you would be very, very careful of how you're moving. Everybody's looking at you. And you're going to shoot a guy in the back? In the middle of all this shit that's going on?
Right.
You're either a idiot, or you're arrogant and you're too comfortable and secure in the notion that you can kill a person who's running away from you with a goddamn non-lethal weapon, a taser.
I say a little bit of both, because they've been getting away with it for so long that they're comfortable. And from experience, once you have one officer like that, you have a whole bunch of enforcement.
Yeah, and it goes back to your earlier statement that they think nothing. They think this is just going to end, stop any day now. Oh, this is all right. Yeah. They're going to stop marching soon. And I don't want the protest to stop. I love it that they're afraid. But I can tell you, you know they're not afraid anymore. When the last time you seen the National Guard?
Right. They're not even talking about it anymore.
Because they started pulling out. I know they started pulling out in Philly last week.
Yeah. And then you do see that another way to make this protest stop is start opening stuff up so people can go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's less people will be out there protesting. Because at the end of the day, I mean, that unemployment going to stop and people got a bill to pay.
Yeah. And see, remember at one point who were the governors who said, screw Corona, we're going to open this shit up. It was the Republicans. Now we got the Democrats who are doing it slowly. Delaware got goddamn hair salons and shit back open. Y'all got your own issues going over there in Jersey. He opening shit up. PA opening shit up. So it's to the point we have to get back to normal so the protesters can stop and we can get this money back in. So we have to be aware of what's going on. We got to see this stuff with a chessboard vision and not a checkerboard. You know, you can't be playing checkers at a damn chessboard.
Right.
Because it's time to come together and start getting some things. I'm not saying we all squad up a million deep. No, that's unrealistic. Nobody's doing that. But if you go and you get your family members that you trust, and y'all start talking about ways to start putting some money together and make some investments to help the family overall. Grandmama house. Let's put that money up and let's go fix it up so we can, when grandmama go, that can be passed on to the next family member. That kind of stuff. Who needs help with something? Let's build a business. Let's do this. Let's do that. There's so many different things that we should be coming together to do. And if the corona didn't wake you up about the economics and the health care and stuff like that, all these riots and protests should have also. If your ass ain't into the Black Power movement, then I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't get it. We got another request from Lady Wren, in the I believe she's made a request for us to talk about the importance of Black unity. Let you take a stab at that coin.
Well, first of all, I say time and time again how we need to learn how to treat each other so no one else could come and treat us any type of way. Lives matter have to matter all the time. And like I said, it's the way that we move, looking out for one each other, building, supporting each other, checking each other, holding each other accountable, teaching each other. Remember back in the day, you used to take a village to raise a child. Everybody was looking out for everybody. And somewhere along the way, nobody wanted anybody to check or say anything to anybody, to their kids. By the way, I still do. I will check anybody's kid at any given time. I don't care whether I know you or not. Because I will hope that someone would do that to my children. You know, and it's a way to check in a respectful way. You know, that's what we first start selling at. Second, unity, banding together, making sure we all are elevating together. Because if you have the knowledge and you're not, or the wisdom, if you're not sharing it and teaching it to others, it's useless. It's supposed to be spread it. You know, start with your family, start with your community, you know, each one teach one. And let the ripple effect go. Because everybody can't be everywhere. One person can't do everything. That's why you're supposed to build your teams together, bring your people together. You reach more people that way. You know? And also, not only when you're teaching it, you're supposed to be living that way. Don't go stand on that soapbox and get that speech telling people what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to live, how it's supposed to be, and you're not doing it. You know? And it's living proof is in these protesters. It can happen. It can happen. Some of the cities that were supposed to be known for the most chaos, and they called them animals. Look at North. Called them animals to ghetto, hood, everything else. They were able to protest without anything. No problems. And they showed unity. They didn't let anybody from the outside, even though they tried, come in. We start destroying anything.
The There you go. Everybody ain't going to be falling for that okey-doke. Some people will come together. And I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad. I can't sit here and start talking, oh, that's racist, because they... Listen, when... If they come together to go after black folks, it's one thing. Case in point. Prime example. There's a part of Philadelphia called Fishtown, which I, you know, spent many years in it down there. There were about 16 white dudes walking down the street with baseball bags. I saw it all over Facebook. Anybody from Philly, they kept posting it for days and days and days and days. And the first thing is, oh, they're being racist again, because the Fishtown has a history of racism, because once upon a time, there weren't a lot of black folks that lived down there. I lived down there for 5 years. Never had one interaction with racism, you know, for whatever reason. But I do know there has been some in the past. But the video shows 16 white men of all ages, sizes, and shapes walking with baseball bats, surrounding and protecting the businesses that they thought could possibly get looted. Well, that was a big hoopla. But those men been down there. Y'all just saw that one video. They were down there for about a week. There were the other business owners from the upper side. There were people who lived. One of those guys is a hockey coach for the kids in the community. I'm looking at the video and say, oh, I know that guy, and I know that guy, because I always see him at the Dunkin' Donuts right off Air, you know, Gerard and Aramingo. So it's, and then when it came time to paint Black Lives Matter, or whatever that big bright yellow painting of down in Fishtown, Gerard, those guys were right there, and they didn't have a problem with it. You see, this is where critical thinking comes in. And it goes back to that point where you're saying people are telling other people how to live. How to... We have to be smart enough to know when someone's attacking us and when they aren't. Someone defending a business and a store that they have known the ownership, the management, and employees for 10, 15 goddamn years is not racism.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they got to go to get their medicine, their bread. That's where they're going to take their wives and boyfriends and shit on dates. They don't want you tearing it up. If you tore everything up from West Philly going all the way down and you manage to hit Old City and you're veering over to the north side, of course they're going to, they see you coming. So they're going to protect their shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's not racism. That's just good old-fashioned tribalism. If maybe if some of y'all did that when y'all were being gentrified, you wouldn't be gentrified. You wouldn't be complaining about how your taxes is up because somebody moved the black family out, paid them off for pennies on the dollar for what their house is really worth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gut the house and they fixed the house up and turned it into a $200,000, $215,000 house in some cases, at a bunch of houses around 75 to 85. Y'all allowed that to happen. Anybody go down there to Ms. Martha? Anybody go grab the applications for the Philadelphia weatherization programs where she can get new windows, new appliances, her roof fixed for free? Because the city's doing all this, so you just got to get on the list. Did y'all help her keep her property clean?
All right.
Anybody offer to come over and lay down new carpet and paint and stuff like that? So she can get some equity out of the house, raise the value up? No, you didn't even think about it because you were too busy worrying about yourselves. And y'all worried about 16 white boys who carried some goddamn baseball. Some of them was like in their 70s and shit. Carrying baseball bats to go protect some stores that they thought people that looked like us was going to destroy. Now, if they would have tried to stop the people from painting that positive message in the middle of the street right in front of their faces, that's when I would have had a problem. See, we got to be able to identify the things we need to be focused on, the things we should. We can't come together unless we have an agenda. And part of that agenda is focusing on the things that we need the most. We need jobs. We need money to pour into the hood. We need to fix up dilapidated properties. We need to clean up the goddamn neighborhood. Pick up, get your ass up tomorrow and sweep. How about that?
Right.
Don't just sweep your shit. You and a bunch of others go up and down the block and just hit the whole block.
Yeah, because what people got to realize is a lot of these homes that's not kempt is elderly people who can't get out there and do that. They can't get out and mow their own lawns. And that's the issue. People are not worrying about the youth, and they're not worrying about the elderly like they used to. You know, I know when I was growing up, the lady on the corner, she didn't come out much. But if I see her, I'm going to run to the store for her. Yep, you know I don't do no manual labor, but I was cutting, I was doing her yard, I was shoveling her snow, anything so she won't get out there and be hurt. Because I had to look at it like, what if that was my grandmother? Some of y'all don't even know how to take care of your own grandma.
Yeah, I had a buddy of mine, did about 3 years of bedtime, he came home. And he was like, man, you believe them people on the block wouldn't even cut my grandma's lawn? And she would give it to. I was like, motherfucker, when you was home, you wouldn't cut the lawn. What are you talking about? So it's like, it's that everybody but me mentality. Everybody's wrong but me. Y'all need to drop this fake machismo and this unearned arrogance. Some of you motherfuckers are walking around with a level of arrogance that you didn't even deserve. You haven't even earned. Who the hell have you helped? I mean, really helped. I ain't talking about loaning somebody a couple damn dollars. I'm talking about who did you help enrich their lives? And I bring up the word enrich because I have two related questions about how it was important for black folks to be thinking about wealth and personal development and how to enrich their lives. I've seen it twice now. So the clock is ticking fast. Wow. Do you want to touch on that real quick, Queen? The black community, wealth, enrichment, and, personal development, that kind of thing.
Personal development is just a matter of getting it together, reevaluating our lives, seeing what we need to fix, and once we figure out what we have to fix, putting that plan in place and taking the necessary steps to get there. As far as wealth, investing. If we have people investing in ourselves and investing in our community, then we won't have to wait around for someone else to do it. Banding together, getting that nice group. You got friends, y'all can go hang out together. Y'all can go out clubbing together, drinking together, smoking together, but who's coming together to, one, elevate each other, two, go into business together?
Yep. Queen?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just making sure my phone didn't die on me.
Yeah,
we had this problem last week. No, I don't want no repeat.
Right. I heard everything you were saying, but I couldn't say nothing. They tried to silence me. My big ass mom can't.
Fucking block talk. But yeah, you made some interesting points. And I agree. for me, the most important part is that personal development piece. That's the first step. Think about, for anyone who's listening, and if you're a little confused about the personal development part, think about your skill set. What do you know? What can you do? You don't like your job. You don't like the level of income coming in. So you go, ooh, let me go get me another job that pays more. Let's be realistic. How quick can that happen? Right? Then you have to go, well, what is my skill set in case I need to switch industries or pick up something part-time doing something completely different? What do I know how to do? That's just the employment aspect of it. Now, what about my house? My house is falling apart. I don't have the money to fix this stuff up. I wish I knew how to fix this stuff myself. I don't have the money to hire somebody. Back room looks crappy. I had a leak. I fixed the leak. Then I got to paint and get rid of mold. I don't know how to do this stuff, but I can't afford to hire somebody. What do I do? You see, that is what personal development. Now you have to personally learn a new task, a skill, and you have to train yourself to do the next thing. Okay? The personal development is always going on. For you women who are tired of buying wigs, think, I'm going to start making my own wig caps and shit, you have developed a new skill. When you sat on YouTube and you watched, that is developing, that is a personal development activity. If you're on the SNAP program, you're getting the cash assistance, you live in one of those states where they say you gotta go to that class in order to get the cash if you don't have a job or you're not in school, that's because that is a personal development that's written into the law. You're supposed to be in there looking for work or learning a skill or a trade to make you more available or make you more appealing for someone to hire you. You have to level up, if that makes any sense, to get a better job. Going to school is personal development. So when you take that aspect of it and then you start thinking about wealth, how can I get wealth? Not rich. There's two different things. I don't want to be rich. I want to be wealthy. Because being rich comes and goes. Wealthy is generational. When I kick the bucket, my kids are going to be okay. Their kids are going to be okay. So, in order to become wealthy, all of that personal development school skills that we were talking about was for you to slide into that position so you can occupy that space. And then it's the enrichment part. That enrichment piece is so important because as you are being a good neighbor, you're helping old ladies on the block, old men on the block, you're sweeping, you're cleaning, you are setting up a value system. No, everybody ain't going to do it, but the ones that see you and think that's cool, they going to want to do it too. So here you are being a leader, you lead by example. That's an enriching experience. You know, that is something that plays to the heart, that makes you feel good about what you're doing. You know, it makes you feel like that's an issue of quality. I don't want my shit to look like this. You ever see them dudes out there washing their car every weekend? That's because for him, there is something that he's getting out of that. He has a value in that thing that he loves so much. And maybe just, it may not be enriching to you, but it's enriching to him. It serves a purpose for him. Right? It's just like anybody who's ever planted anything, knows anything about planting, you don't want regular soil. You want enrichment soil. You want enriching soil. You want soil that's going to be good for generations. Not just soil that's good for this one goddamn raggedy-ass plant you've been picked up. you want that kind of soil that you can keep turning over and use for a long period of time. So that's the kind of ideas we need here in the Black community, you know? I'm sorry, Queen. I had to get that out.
You're good. Making a lot of valid points. You know, I'm all about entrepreneurship and being a business owner. And I think it's important that be the end goal, is for our people to become entrepreneurs and business owners, so we can work for ourselves and we can hire our own people. And also be able to teach our children. Our children are watching us. So as they're watching us develop what we're developing, they can also be like that. Because I know from experience, my kids do it all the time. They want to become entrepreneurs because you are an entrepreneur, because they're watching you.
Yep.
And then you can teach them things while they're young and instill certain things in them when they're younger. So when they are of age to do certain things, they can do it. So let's start becoming business owners, homeowners, start being pillars in the community, start being leaders, and passing those things down from generation to generation. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That way, our children and our people be an influence, so our children, our family, and our people that surround us can watch us and be like, okay, I'm expired. Now let me figure out how I can do my part. Because people have to realize everybody have their own journey, and everybody have their own things that they can contribute. You know, just like I said, some people went on the front line and protested. If protesting not for you getting on that front line for whatever reason, there's other ways you can do it. That's why I say everybody have a certain way that they can contribute.
Right.
Some people have a voice. Some people, like we were talking about, Black media. By the people, for the people. That's how we need to start thinking. Let our people do for our people, so we don't have to worry about anybody else coming in to quote unquote save us. When you get them programs and stuff, take advantage of them. Utilize them. When you have something going on in your community that can educate you, whether it's something that you're into or not, just so you can have that education, it's free. Utilize it. So there may be somewhere down the line you can teach somebody else it that didn't have a chance to get that opportunity to learn it at that time. Now you can teach it to them because that's something they're into.
And that right there is you just gave a better explanation of what enrichment is than I have. It is that concept of knowledge being passed down, inspiring the next generation. The generation gets involved and they want to do what they see their elders do. And that is so important. We have to have more of that. Whether it's starting a business, whether it's a trade, whether it's our people got to start looking at how the other people are doing it and being successful at it. You know, I've heard a lot of back and forth between the Latino and Black community, and it made me uncomfortable. which leads to JoJo Red's question, where she's asking, shouldn't Blacks and Latinos come together too?
Absolutely. Black and brown people, we're all one and the same. That's what people try to realize. For whatever reason, people want to kind of divide, and that's not how it should be. You know, come together, unite, and you get more people. If the more people you have with the same common goal as you, that's a wonderful thing, because now you're going to get it done quicker. Now, let's think about it. When we talk about the trending with the hashtag, the more people you have doing a hashtag, the more people is getting the message out there. You know,
We can't afford as people to have so many enemies. Let's focus on the common enemy and everybody band together. You know, it's that crab in the barrel mentality. It's that that complexion, white skin, dark skin kind of rivalry thing. No, I don't care if you Dominican, Puerto Rican, black, Asian, Jamaican, whatever. We all should have the same common goal, because they don't see us no different. Why should we see each other different? Why should we try to separate and fight our own just individual fights? We all band together and fight the common enemy.
Yep.
They're not going to say, oh, we're not going to... let's not attack him. He's Spanish, you know. No, they're going to say, oh, they're going to look at both of y'all and look at y'all like the same person beneath them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, because in this country, when you look at the hierarchy, they're treating y'all just as bad, you know. So, but to answer your question, JoJo, yes, we should, and in many cases, like you, your family, construction business, real estate business, you're hiring black people, you're contracting with black people, y'all been doing it for years. So y'all live in examples of how Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, and blacks can all come together, and across five different states. So it's yes, we should do it a lot more. And y'all heard me say this before, if you have one of these bodegas and poppy stores in your community who are giving back, they're not just closing their gates and pulling up and driving out of the, you know, six zip codes away, but when they are, they're there for the local community when there's a death, you know, they're there for the school down the street, you know, they're bringing lunch platters, they're, you know, they're helping the family out with the supplies that they may need for kids back to school and stuff like that. They're giving away book bags and sometimes giving lunch to kids who can't really afford it. You know, they're going to school hungry. So there's some of these businesses out here that are doing this kind of stuff. They're feeding the homeless. They're feeding poor kids and stuff like that, poor families. The one up there, my mom, he found out somebody lost their job, man, he went up there and paid him a whole $650 worth of stuff because he remembers them since the day he stepped foot in that store.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been dedicated. And he hires black teams in the neighborhood. It's crazy as that neighborhood is. He, I said, damn, I love it what you're doing. He said, yeah, that's crazy, but you know what? There are crazy kids too. So,
yeah, that's another thing. Don't anybody come in your community that can't help the community or put back in your community. Nobody come put no store, no business in your community, and they're not going to cater to your people. They're not going to hire your people. No. Go to your town, your council meetings and stuff, and see what's going on. Be aware.
Because
stuff seems like it happened overnight. You wake up one minute and boom, it's a store there. No, it didn't happen overnight. They just slid underneath your nose because you're not aware of what's going on.
Yep. Y'all heard me say 1,000 times, it ain't about being woke. Get out of this whole idea of woke. Okay? Be aware. Be alert. Be active.
Absolutely.
The goddamn zombie's walking around with his eyes open. Think he woke. All right, Queen. We have about 20 seconds.
Okay, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in today's show. We'll be back for Therapy Thursday, same time. Look out for the promotions. Also, I want to thank everybody for the questions. Make sure you are following our pages. We appreciate those who continue to support us, 3 years in? Listen to every show and interact. It's appreciated. Any last words I can before I sign off?
Come together, y'all.
That concludes our show for tonight. Until next time, good night, everybody.
Peace, y'all.